All right. This is Chairman Brad Holton. Present is Commissioner Brooks, Commissioner Van Beek. We have a 10:30 start time for DSD General Business. And within a couple minutes, we also have a start time for meeting to discuss and consider authorizing abatement of property located at 19909 Middleton Road. So both are here, so let's get started for a little bit on general DSD business, and we'll halt and take care of the abatement issue so we can cut him loose sooner than later.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioners, as promised at last week's Development Services General Business Meeting, and though we went through July statistics just last week, we are into August, and we want to hit you with the statistics most up to date. Trying to do that on the first Thursday every month. So,
great. Okay.
So you get the statistics back to back, but we also added some hearing statistics that Dan is here to discuss. So I'll turn the time over to Josh to start with.
All right, page four.
You might be asking yourself, does the fun ever start? And it will. I'll run through this in a similar fashion. Dan will be jumping in with the hearing statistics. So zoning-wise, there has been no large increases or variances to the applications. We're plugging along steadily with those numbers. We're down 34 total applications from last year at this time. I'm on page four now. I'm going to let Dan talk about the hearing case summary and what that means. And if there's any detailed questions, he's here for those for the board.
Thank you. So as of now, we have 106 cases in the queue. 68 of those are being reviewed. About 19 of those are on hold. 19 of our total cases are going through hearings right now, so on their way out. And then as of this year, we've done 60 cases, so there's 13 still waiting for FCOs to be signed, but most of them have been closed out. About 47 of those have been closed out. At the end of August, we'll be in double digit land finally, and so we'll be at 87 cases left over after August, and we're predicting by the end of the year being closer to about 50 cases left over.
Wow.
As you see at the bottom of that information, you'll see how many are left over from different years. So you see there's still 7 left over in 2021, 19 in 2022, 11 in 23. So a lot of those are under hold or going through the hearing process. The hold items are typically mostly plats waiting for the rezones to be done so we can process the platting part of it. Other ones have some issues, and those are eventually, well, if we have any issues with that, we might bring those forward just to see what we want to do with some of these older cases that have significant issues.
Incomplete or whatever.
Well, some of those also have to do with development agreements. Are they expired? Are they not? So this might be something we need to talk about. I don't have for you on here the comparisons of 2024, 2023 caseloads. I'm going to spitball. I think Jay remembers some of this, but I think last year we were at more of 146, 150. The year before, more 180. And then I know in the 2022s, we were in the 200 digits. So we've come a long way to catch up, and we will definitely be at a manageable pace at the end of this year.
Chairman, before we get too far away from the numbers that we're seeing, we had a case that presented this last week to the board that was, for all intents and purposes, incomplete. And I don't know if this is an appropriate time, but I would prefer, that's the policy that we're trying to establish, if it's incomplete, either the applicant provides the information, and in that case, those reports were done, but it just did not get accompanied even after numerous requests from development services. It makes it very awkward for the board to be presented with a case. I don't want to see them, and I would like to see a deadline given, here's your submittal date. If we don't have it, you'll have to start over. That will have some financial incentive to get that moving in or out of the queue.
I know, through the chair, we are trying to
constantly work on updating our process to make sure, one, we give the best information we can to the public, but also at a certain point, either you're providing this or we're moving forward, and it's probably going to be a recommendation of denial if you don't provide this information. So just steps that we're working towards, one is pre-application. That is where we want to give them everything. Try to give them all their options, our understanding of our analysis, how we're going to look at things, why we're going to look at it that way, provide them all the information. That's why we have inquiries, pre-application meeting. We have all this stuff they can utilize. But once they submit that application, that's their voice. That's their persuasion. And what we try to do is not necessarily say, that's garbage, we're not accepting it. It's, you're missing this stuff. Please provide it. If we don't hear back by this date, we're moving forward. And sometimes there's a little bit more back and forth, but at that point, it's their voice. We really want to let them know, like, we can't sit on this too much longer. Do you want some more time? Do you? And we can probably be better about that communication, but that's what we're trying to get to, that better communication. And then provide that time frame. Like, if we don't hear back from you, we have to recommend denial, and we'll schedule a hearing. Tell us what you want to do. We're seeing a lot of them going, just schedule it. We'll fix it as we go along.
So I'm not giving a mandate. I'm giving them a frustration from this side of the table. I think that we unintentionally bend the rules for these people who don't want to give the information we've required from others. And I would contemplate that we would consider having DSD staff put it right on the application. We've asked for X, Y, and Z, and this applicant has, as of this date, still not provided that. We are declaring this is most likely an incomplete application. So when it comes here, I don't have to figure it out in real time. That's unfair. And you guys know it because you've been working with the applicant and they've been lackadaisical about giving the information I need to make a fair decision that I've required from others. So, yes, every land application has some nuances that the others don't have. I get that. But these 19 on hold bother me because the conditions that some of those applications were received in, we wouldn't even dream of it today. But yet they're some of the very same people who are populating the airspace with wah, 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 when they need to do some stuff on their side, and they're it's almost like they're resilient not to, and yet they have this held over. Literally, they have it held over my head because your head is my head that's out in the public that Canyon County Development Services isn't doing this, right? And so we may have to have legal in, but at this point, with my tolerance, I'm ready to pick up every one of those 19 and look at it and say, this is deficient, this is deficient. You have 6 months, and if it isn't all in, then you're done, because it's not fair.
And Chairman, I would submit that what you're talking about on the 19 is 3 years old, and so 6 months to me seems too long. I'd give it 60 days.
Well, it might be true. I mean, that's all argumentative. 30 days, 60 day, 90 day. I don't know. Legal would have to weigh in on that.
Okay. Thanks.
But I guess I'm trying to help you, in a way, help me, and definitely help the county be as consistent as we can, because we've inherited most of these problem childs, and not even going into any of the other part, but they're there, and what we're going to do about it.
Yeah. So. Chairman, can I?
Mr. Chairman, commissioners, I'll just remind you that when we updated the hearings procedure code, we put a provision in there that all applications subsequent to that date are subject to review and booting them out if they are deficient. We couldn't do that with ones that that came in the door before that, because that code wasn't in place. Many times we'll give the deadlines and find staff as we don't get that information. We write it up for and schedule it for P&Z for denial, and then magically at the last minute we get all this information in, and we've already done 90% of the work, and now we've got to start over again on the analysis because now magically we have it. And that sometimes is the impetus to get that information. But then they're asking for special dispensation for re-reviewing applications they didn't pay for. So
right.
I think our fee schedule is set up that we can potentially recoup some of those re-review costs if we do it right. So, but we have a lot of things in place that weren't there before. So we're making progress, and that's a good thing. But
Chairman, can I clarify an assumption I made? I assumed that the on hold on the cases in review were the cases maybe in the problem child year. I don't know if they are or not. Are they all from 2022, or are they just scattered throughout?
They're scattered throughout. And again, most of those are just plats waiting for the rezone to go through. As you know, we don't do concurrent applications or combined applications at this point. We want the rezone to be approved first before we start looking at the plat. That makes the record focused on that rezone and not bits of the plat findings going into the rezone findings. So it's a way to keep it in its separate lane. So a lot of those are just waiting for approvals, and then we can get to reviewing those plats. So a lot of those are on hold for that. There are some in there that have issues due to development agreements and whether they're expired or not. And that's where we're kind of stuck on some of that. Like, we would like to take some of those forward and try to expire those and see what happens. But there are some concerns about, does it really meet that time frame or not? Is there a time frame back in those older ones that been over 25 years old? And there is discussions about terminations on there, but it's not the 2-year time frame. It doesn't really discuss that. It has a different type of nuance to it, you know. And so those are some of the concerns that if some of the citizens have brought up, that they're concerned that if you bring that forward to expire, then they're concerned about something they felt like they've had a vested right to for a very long time. And so some of those have those questions, and that's why they're on hold.
Yeah. So the development agreement, the language back in the day, instead of setting a year time frame for the next development application to come in, like you had a development agreement, now we want the plat in within 2 years. It just said timely. Back then, what's timely?
Reasonable time frame.
I can concur with the exasperation that you have, but may I submit respectfully that 25 years is not reasonable, and it's most likely being able to be argued before a judge. So I think some of these, I'm just trying to help us and our reputation, and it worries me that several of those 19 are very vocal, and I'm tired of it. I'm really tired of it. And it's not fair to you, it's not fair to your staff, and it's not fair to the county. And I guess I'm just sharing this commissioner's viewpoint that I'm ready to deal with it. It's not going to be black and white, but I'm ready to deal with it.
And Chairman, can I comment on that? So I appreciate that timely would matter who you're talking about. So for some of those, the farmers that were granted those entitlements, it was a long time ago, but it was staging that for cash flow. Is it right? Is it not right? I hesitate to go back on something. I think we would find ourselves in the middle of a bigger evaluation than what we're talking about, because it isn't black and white. And where you said we can't go back before we establish the ordinance, I don't feel good about ripping an entitlement away from somebody where the county failed to clearly define it. That's my first thing. And then I have another question. We just passed an ordinance that, help me understand, said what we would accept combined applications, and I heard you just say we're trying to split these apart. What does that mean? Define both of them.
So back in the day, we would allow for combined applications and we would hear them at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And what we were finding is one, the rezone would be denied and then we'd spend all this time on the plat that's being going to be denied. And then secondly, what we'll see, if it's an approval, they'll make the approval based on the plat and not the rezone. And so they'll forget about the findings we had to make about the rezone and focus on the plat. So to make sure that it's processed correctly, we believe that the one, splitting them up and hearing them separately would make it so that the records for that finding are clear. But also, we don't waste our time on an application that probably is going to get denied, and so we don't want to spend staff's time on a subdivision review that may not happen.
And
that's
why
we split those up.
And thank you. I appreciate that. And that's the understanding I had, but I thought we allowed in the last ordinance update the text amendments to accept combined applications. So that's why I'm confused.
So through the chair, there is in our code a process an applicant can ask for a combined application, application fee. It comes to the board. The last few that very rare have come to the board, but there's a couple that have and they've been denied. So there is a process and not many are taking that process. And again, it doesn't mean they can't submit concurrently. It's up to the planner to review it and go, this is really something we're going to deny. We're not going to look at that yet. Or if it's something that's a slam dunk, we could at that point go, it's probably safe to just send those through at the same time. But those are rare recently because some of these rezones have been, we don't know yet. 50-50 that they may be approved or not, or how they're going to be approved, which could affect the plat at the end of the day. So we still are cognizant that they may need to just be going by themselves to these hearings, get that approval first before we start looking at the development of that property.
Chairman, I guess I'm interested with your land use on what you think about accepting fees for a combined application where we're trying, to me it seems like we've got an internal war. We do, we don't. Is it yes? Is it no?
Because land use is not cookie cutter, and we are trying to give a little bit of a safety valve to some that are, I would use, pretty straightforward, at least on the face value, and to allow those that are very simplistic to not be encumbered by all that would be on something that's very complicated. But there. So we're trying to be as best at customer service that we can be by implementing this. Can it be abused? Yeah, there is no specific threshold that forecludes someone by demanding, I want to do these both at the same time. But it's pretty straightforward on the complicated ones. Is there's not a snowball's chance that they're going to go through and both be approved without ending up with conditions or something that changes the plat. So I'm really comfortable with our DSD staff looking at those that come to us that want them both at the same time and then counseling saying, XYZ, this is more complicated than your simple one. And you could ask the board, but we're going to recommend to the board for these reasons that this be denied because it's not going to make it through the process. And so I like the flexibility. Could it be abused? Absolutely. And most likely might be, but we have a very qualified staff. They're getting very organized, very laser focused, and they can bring us those to the board with either a recommend for going ahead or a denial.
And I appreciate your comments. I just wanted to make sure that our policies and fee structure was not in conflict with itself. And I think it's important that people understand when and how to use certain tools. So thank you.
Yeah.
Planning is complicated.
Yeah. If it was simple, it'd just be a form you fill out.
Exactly. I've hesitated to bring or you know, go looking for old DAs that have, you know, I get emails on a weekly basis from the development community or the opposition to some of those development agreements as to when are you going to take these forward? They need to be looked at, potentially terminated or hold their feet to the fire to get a development plan. It's like, okay, folks, I need you to decide what's most important to you. you want us to get out from underneath the,
right.
the backlog and get your applications processed, or do you want me to open a whole nother can of worms and drag the board into these development agreements? And I've told them consistently, let me get here, and then I'll have staff time.
Yeah.
And we'll refocus on those and we'll address those in a timely fashion next year.
Yeah.
Right.
And I would tip.
To be clear, I'm not demanding that we stop what we're doing and pick these up. I'm just saying that from this commission's point of view, you have my support to do that when it's timely to do it, to yeah. get it done.
And Chairman, that's going to be litigious. I've already been told by people that are in that, and I really don't have a desire to go backwards. I want to, the windshield should be bigger than the rearview mirror. So if we have a cutoff date and say, here's where we're at, they would have to submit something at that time for a preliminary plat or something for the board to look at. I have no appetite for that at all.
Moving right along.
Yeah.
Do we want to stop and break for a second and do a code enforcement? Do I have a?
Yes.
Okay. By consensus, the board's going to stop and pause, and we're going to consider the code enforcement issue. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Morning. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. All right.
Morning, commissioners.
Good morning.
I've provided you with a copy of my case notes and mailings that we have attempted to contact the property owner at 19909 Middleton Road. Property contains overgrown weeds, debris that's been dumped either by the property owner or the public. It's unknown. The complaint was initially brought to us by a neighboring property owner and business owner on the 10th of June. On the 11th of June, I inspected the property and I observed trash and debris and weeds and dry brush throughout the property. Notice of violation was sent to the property owner and the owner representative. That mailing went out certified and first class on the 12th of June. On the 11th of July, I inspected the property and found no progress. I also noted that there had not been an order to abate, and we ordered a litigation guarantee in an attempt to locate any other interested parties in the property. On the 24th, the OTA, or order to abate, was sent. Excuse me. On the 31st of July, I inspected the property again and found that there was no change. We had no contact from the property owner, who is noted to be deceased, or any representative of the property. On the 4th, we received, I apologize, on the 4th of August, we received an abatement quote from Northwest Land Services for $2,860. This morning, I inspected the property, as you can see in the packet I just provided to you, and the property remains the same, if not worse. So we're requesting that we be directed to go ahead and abate the property for the amount of $2,860.
Chairman.
Yes.
Thank you for the information. I'm in favor of moving forward and approving this abatement process. It is difficult for landowners to get control of the property when it's out of control at this level. So hiring someone to do that, it's not the most cost effective, but it is the message that we're consistently sending to people in Canyon County that you cannot be a public nuisance and keep your property in this condition. So it's money, in my opinion, that the county will get back in some point of time because there's going to be a lien attached to the property if they don't pay it. So this is the right move, and I'm in support.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, so the owner is dead.
Correct.
But and also, the personal representative has not ever communicated or responded?
They have not responded to the notice to abate or the notice of violation, and we also ordered the litigation guarantee, which lists the same person in the same law office. We've contacted them twice by certified mail. We've had no response.
So they've been paying their property taxes, so somebody's alive and well.
It's my understanding it's a daughter that lives out of town.
Okay. Well.
Approximately 2 months, we've made two attempts in writing to both this Marissa Leiden and the Nate Peterson Law, who is listed as the representative of the estate of Terry Hobbs. We've received no response from either party.
Well, it's too bad. Seemingly, their legal counsel isn't taking care of their client. That's unfortunate for them. I'm in favor of entertaining a motion. Where are you at with this, Commissioner Brooks?
No, I'm in favor. I just wanted
a clarification on this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chairman, I move that the board authorizes the abatement of property located at 19909 Middleton Road in case number CDEF 2025-0124 on parcel R343-130-10A.
I second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. What I would ask is that you also contact the assessor's office and let them know that their residential tax exemption should not be applicable for this year on this property.
Mr. Chairman, that's an interesting point. Considering this individual has been deceased for 4 years, it looks like.
To me,
is that retroactive?
To me, that's almost fraud. So that might explain possibly reasons why the legal counsel won't respond. Yes, that's rather aggravating. So I would also ask that you notify the assessor that you're aware that it's been several years that they've been deceased, and it appears that they have been receiving that exemption, possibly fraudulently.
Do that when I get back to my office.
I appreciate that. All right. I hope that the abatement is goes smooth and is successful.
It's abandoned. I think it'll be smooth. A couple hours, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Anything else on this subject?
I don't think so, Chairman.
I would ask that. Do I have concurrence that we can go back to DSD general business?
Yes.
Okay, let's consider ourselves back on to the DSD general business.
Thank you, Chairman, Commissioners. Moving to page 6 of the report I provided, I think of note here is the administrative land divisions. Those are up around $11,000 year over year. So I believe the activity in there is starting to see a little bit of an uptick. And of course, as I've noted, each month we had our fees increase around March 20th, so that's definitely a factor there.
Yes.
Going to page 7, at the bottom, the bold numbers, we're up around 53,000 year over year in the zoning applications category. I think there's a combination of factors to do with that. Of an interesting note, I think, is subdivisions category is up around $6,000. So we're still moving forward with some of our plats there. As usual, since I think a lot of land is divided through our administrative land division process, the plats are, you know, they're a modest amount, and we're a rural community, so I think that makes some sense. Moving forward to the building department.
Can we stop there for just a second?
Sure.
On the Todd Lakey bill, my personal opinion is we're going to start to be in a position that we have the potential to receive a lot of subdivision applications. There's less incentive right now to go and try to connect into the city and annex in. Are we positioned correctly for the larger subdivision applications that could potentially be coming? Because I see a change in our reality potentially
right.
happening.
So we're still a rural county, and rural subdivisions are still, you're going to get 1-2 acre lots, subdivisions. I haven't really heard a lot of pressure from the development community that they're gonna develop, try to develop county property. It's a market thing. It's easier to, and quicker turnaround if you go in the city with much, much smaller lots and
right.
And so the cities are still busy regardless of what law changes have occurred. I think that just us being able to get out from the backlog will also open the door for applications simply because they know they're going to get hearings in more timely fashion than they.
Right.
That hurt for a long time when I submit an application and have to sit for a bunch of times. So.
Right.
I think that will change next year, more than likely. But really, there's so many things up in the air at the moment. Don't know what to expect exactly, but we'll be positioned for those certainly.
Okay.
Because we'll have staff workload and availability. We'll be able to move things and reset the expectations of the development community itself. That will probably change.
Right. Okay. Good. Thank you.
Well, Chairman, continuing on with our building numbers, page 9 there, the new single-family residential there, top third of the page. So far this year, we're at 227 homes, and year over year, that's an increase of 64. I think that's one of the main things I'd like to bring your attention to in the building world.
That's an increase?
Yes, sir.
Irregardless of what our news media is telling us? Because it's not specifically about Canyon County in the news.
Yeah.
Right.
One thing I can tell you from where I moved from is the building community was basically saying to us when we'd meet with them quarterly that a lot of their activity was people that can just pay cash to have a house built. Now, do I think that 227 people are doing that in Canyon County? Probably not. But there's still that market out there. And where I came from, I do not know how this is working in Idaho. The builders were paying points to lower the interest rate on the loan themselves, but they were keeping the house price where it was to entice more building. So I don't know if that's happening here. I haven't had a meeting with our local Home Builders Association.
Okay.
Down to page 13 there. Building department continues to be very healthy year over year. We're 450,000, almost 451,000 in fees over where we were last year. Now I'll move to my misguided children, code enforcement. Child? As you can see there, I don't consider this a significant change year over year. However, I can tell you just recently in talking to the admin support we've got for code enforcement, just a glut of complaints came in over the past 3 or 4 weeks. You know, 9 to 12 one day at a time. I swore she said the other day she got 19 at once. Does that feel right?
Over a weekend.
Yeah, over a weekend. Okay.
Yeah.
So that continues to be healthy. And I'll give a brief staffing update when I'm finished here.
Okay.
But last page of the report, page 16, you see the revenues compared in our two major revenue sources there. It would just be a repeat of the numbers, but total with our fees amongst planning and building, we're up around $500,000.
Okay.
Chairman?
Yes.
Mr. I do have a comment just for the record. Even though the revenues are up and the fees actually were altered in March of 25 for this new fee schedule, I just wanted to be known that even are up, but still not paying for DSD as a whole. So the FY26 coming up on the budget, there's still a $800,000 difference between expenses being more than revenues. So I just want to put that on the record, even though the fees and the revenues are up, it's still not covering the expenses of DST as a whole. Is that?
Yep, that's a good thing to note. I might note for the record, there's multiple political subdivisions that exist in Treasure Valley that fees in the development department more than pay its way for the cost of their total development department. How they choose to do that, I don't know, but we're woefully lagging behind.
And Mr. Chairman, and in some regard, because our fees had not kept up with the
right
workload,
yeah,
or the workload didn't keep up with what development fees were, we gave away so much work, and it's a stepped process to get back to where it needs to be, and we, as we stated last fall when we started looking at the fee schedule, we'll be back on an annual basis to relook at our fee structures and where those are. So I anticipate doing that this fall.
I agree. If we would have in one step got where that I think we need to be, it would have been quite a jump. Yeah. So I agree. We're making progress.
One final thing, from a staffing perspective, we are in the market for a code enforcement officer. We're also in the market for a building inspector.
Oh, really? Okay.
We had two resignations.
Ah, bummer. Market issues or just life issues?
A little bit of both.
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
All right.
But the application process is open. We are about to start interviews for building. A new building inspector, and we have a number of applicants, but we have at least six that have experience and certifications already.
Oh, good.
I mean, into the interview process, so we're getting good applications.
Good applications. Good.
And code enforcement is just open now, so.
We just started the advertisement for that then?
Last Friday, I believe it went. We've got about 14 applicants, about three that are viable.
Excellent.
So every time I say I got a full boat, no matter how many times I knock on wood.
Well, it's good news to hear that we have good qualified applicants then to look at doing that, because life goes on sometimes and there's changes. Anything else?
Being here, and as always, for a bulleted and really good report. Thank you. It's a great team that's working together. I want to make sure we compliment that. And even the work with Officer Arthur and the number of complaints, I think that's a response to the board's position that we support code enforcement and we want people to respect our county.
Yep. Alrighty. Sounds great. Anything else from you guys?
I do not.
All right. I would make a motion that we adjourn.
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
That's been too loud this time.